Herzlich willkommen zum Podcast Freiraum für Führungskräfte mit Nicole Zetsch, dein Podcast für mehr Klarheit und Freiraum und Stärken in deinem Leben. Jetzt für die nächsten 3 Wochen 3 Sonderfolgen. Ich bin im Urlaub und habe mir gedacht, dass wir wie letztes Jahr, wie im letzten Sommer, doch so kleine Revivals machen können. Ich habe mir mal angeschaut, was sind eigentlich so eure Lieblingsfolgen, welche Folgen wurden am häufigsten gehört und liegen auch schon zeitlich etwas länger zurück, sodass auch neue Hörer und Hörerinnen mal in den Genuss hier kommen und dass du vielleicht, wenn du schon lange eine treue Hörerin oder Hörer bist, hier nochmal eine alte Folge erneut hören kannst. Wir starten heute mit einer Folge, auf die ich auch jetzt noch nach fast 5 Jahren immer noch mordsstolz bin. John Strelacki, der erfolgreiche Autor der Bücher Das Café am Rande der Welt oder The Big Five for Life, Bücher, die mich in meiner Entwicklung sehr geprägt haben, Bücher, die viele Menschen auf der ganzen Welt, auf allen Kontinenten tatsächlich begleiten, ein extrem erfolgreicher Autor, der selbst immer noch total bescheiden ist. Ich hatte das große Glück damals 2020, als ich mit meinem Podcast gestartet bin, mitten ja in der Corona-Krise, und man konnte nicht reisen. Und John Strelacki brachte sein damals neues Buch raus, What I've Learned. Und er konnte nicht reisen und hat seine Lesungen, seine Buchvorstellungen online gemacht. Bei einer war ich dabei und fasste dann den Mut, als ich ihn erlebte, ihn einfach anzuschreiben über LinkedIn. Und er antwortete tatsächlich. Und ich schrieb ihm, dass mein Podcast ganz neu entstanden sei aufgrund von Corona im Mai 2020 und mein innigster Wunsch wäre, ihn als Gast in meinen Podcast zu begrüßen. Und er sagte zu. Bis er dann endlich bei mir war, dauerte es noch etwas, weil sein Manager hat mich dann noch mal ein bisschen zwischendurch hängen lassen, aber ich bin dran geblieben, habe John noch mal direkt angeschrieben und dann hat's doch auch noch geklappt. Für mich also damals ein riesenmutiger Schritt und ein Griff nach den Sternen, ein Traum, den ich mir selbst erfüllt habe. Und auch in diesem Sinne hier noch mal die Wiederholung, um dir Mut zu machen. Wovon träumst du? Was ist vielleicht aktuell total unwirklich und fühlt sich so an, als würde es vielleicht nie passieren. Mach den ersten Schritt. Trau dich. Was braucht es dafür? Und hör uns zu in diesem schönen Gespräch von November 2020, wo John, sein aktuelles Buch damals, What I've Learned, einiges dazu geteilt hat, was er in seinem Leben so an Erkenntnissen mitgenommen hat. Ein wunderschönes kleines Buch, was ich sehr empfehlen kann, was ich gelernt habe. Das Interview ist auf Englisch. Ich habe damals alle Register gezogen und einigermaßen gut Englisch gesprochen. Wenn du das Englisch nicht so mächtig bist, dann überspring die Folge und dann wird es in 2 Wochen wieder eine neue tolle Folge geben. Dann schau einfach vielleicht mal, wenn du heute nichts findest, was es sonst Spannendes in meinem Archiv für dich gibt. Viel Freude bei dieser Folge. Herzlich willkommen zum Podcast Freiraum für Führungskräfte mit Nicole Zetsch. Dein Podcast für mehr Klarheit und Freiraum in deinem Leben. Ich freue mich sehr, dass du wieder dabei bist. Vor allen Dingen, weil ich heute ein ganz, ganz tolles Interview mit dir teilen kann. Ein Interview mit einem meiner Lieblingsautoren, John Strelacki. John Strelacki ist unter anderem Autor der Bücher Das Café am Rande der Welt und The Big Five for Life. Vielleicht hast du sie selber gelesen, vielleicht hast du davon gehört. Lohnt sich in jedem Fall, diese zu lesen. Ich habe John anlässlich der Herausgabe des Herauskommens seines neuen Buches in einem Online-Workshop erlebt vor einigen Wochen. Und dort sagte er, wir sollten über unsere Träume sprechen. Wir sollten unsere Träume, unsere Visionen mit anderen Menschen teilen, weil die könnten uns vielleicht dabei unterstützen und könnten uns vielleicht voranbringen. Und in dem Moment dachte ich, verdammt, ich träume davon, dass du, John, in meinen Podcast kommst. Und habe dann tatsächlich ganz frech ihn über LinkedIn angeschrieben, weil wir da schon verbunden waren, und habe gefragt, ganz frech, auch wenn mein Podcast jetzt erst seit Mai draußen ist, auch wenn ich noch keine Millionen Zuhörer habe, wie vielleicht andere Podcasts, und dachte, ich probiere es einfach. Der Mann wirkt so nett, so sympathisch und nahbar. Wer weiß. Und nach einigen Nachrichten hin und her, er hat sehr freundlich geantwortet, haben wir tatsächlich es hinbekommen und haben ein sehr, sehr schönes Interview aufgenommen, wie ich finde. Ich freue mich also sehr, das mit dir zu teilen. Und ich freue mich auch darüber, dass ich mutig war, dass ich frech war und einfach gefragt habe. Und die Lehre, die ich daraus gezogen habe, ist tatsächlich mal wieder einfach machen. Nicht zu lange überlegen, nicht zu lange schon die Hemmnisse, die Hindernisse sich anschauen und vielleicht Angst vor einem Nein zu haben, einfach erstmal fragen. So, nun aber zu diesem wunderbaren Interview. Ganz, ganz viel Spaß mit John Strzelecki. So I'm so grateful to have a very special guest in my podcast today. It is John Strzelecki, the number one best-selling author of some fantastic books like The Café at the Edge of the World in German, Das Café am Rande der Welt, and The Big Five for Life, which is actually one of my favorite books and which had a big impact on my life. John's books have been translated in 42 languages, and he has sold more than 6 million copies worldwide. With his work, he inspires people across the globe to find the purpose of existence and their path in life. John has just published his new book, What I've Learned, in German, Was ich gelernt habe, and I'm so delighted to have the chance to speak to John about this today. Hi, John. It's a great pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored that we get to spend this time together.
Yeah, me too. And John, I just gave this short introduction about who you are right now. And how did you become the person you are today? And how did you find your path?
A long and twisted story, to be honest with you. Yeah, my journey was not... I meet many people who, when they're younger, they know they want to be this, right? They have a very clear perspective about the path they want to go down. And I find that's about maybe 30% of the population. They're kind of aware of the direction they wanted their career path to go. I was not in that category. I didn't know who I was or what I wanted to be. And I tried one path, which was aviation. And then I had a very serious tap on the shoulder from the universe that said, this actually isn't your thing. And I had invested my life savings in that dream. I had done everything right. And then I had a medical condition that was diagnosed, which really only limited me in two professions. I couldn't be a pilot and I couldn't be an astronaut. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, I was trying to be a pilot. So it's interesting, though, that sometimes in life, if you can step back and look from a distance, you see that that moment was a defining moment, not in a bad way, but a good way. And so that led me in a different direction, which was I entered my backup plan, which was the world of business. And I became a strategy consultant for many years. I did that. I was very good at that. I was well paid for that. But I felt like something was missing. Something on a heart perspective was missing. I was investing the hours. And again, I was well paid and I was good at what I did. But I just didn't feel like this was where my value was in terms of making a difference, a positive difference in the world. And so I left it all behind to backpack around the world. And from that, I was inspired to write the very first book that I wrote, The Café on the Edge of the World, Das Café am Rande der Welt. And here we are now. And as you said, that book's in 42 languages and been a 5-time bestseller of the year. And I wrote the Big Five for Life book, which has been, I think it's more than 5 years running. It's been the number one business and leadership book on Amazon. So, you know, thank goodness I got that tap on the shoulder from the universe that said, actually, we have something different in mind for you.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah. What would be a shame then?
It would be for me. And I think this is a really interesting takeaway. At my core, I'm very empathic and I care about people and I want to make a difference in the lives of others. And I didn't have the self-confidence when I was younger to think that that was even a possibility. I couldn't even figure out my own life, let alone make a difference in the life of someone else. And luckily, as I said, there was this tap on the shoulder, which sent me in a different direction. And now I get to do something that is so much more fulfilling than aviation ever would have been for me. And so, yeah, it's a great turn of events.
Great.
John, you just mentioned your book, The Big Five for Life. And for me, as I said, it had a big impact on my life. As 8 years ago, I had a burnout. And for me, it was time to reset my perspective. But I was lost. I thought, well, I'm a lawyer. I'm a head of HR. That's what I'm doing. And I'm doing it good, as you in your job as a consultant. So how can I do anything else? And what can I do? And I read your book. And that helped me because the story and the questions you asked, they gave me another angle on my life. And I gave myself the permission to ask for this purpose of existence, which is really a big, big question. And I was able to change my path of life because I defined my purpose of existing. And I found out that my purpose is to help people to flourish, to discover their strength, and to find what it takes to live the life they want. So thank you, John, for this inspiration.
My pleasure. And I think what you just, this, the wonderful story that you just shared is a wonderful encapsulation of perhaps the purpose of it all. I did a TEDx talk recently and talking about the purpose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this opportunity to lend our genius to the collective universe, right? And so, yes, you were very good at what you did. I was very good at what I did, right? But it wasn't exactly the right thing. It was, and maybe it was at that moment, but that there was something else. There was a higher calling, a higher purpose. And that by me not being a pilot and instead doing what I do, which is tell stories in the hope that I inspire people to live their best version of themselves, I was able to have a positive conversation with you through the book. And now you made some significant changes. You found some inspiration in that. And now you are changing other people's lives. And I think that's really it. I think that's the crux of it. When we are our most authentic self, when we are living in alignment with our personal purpose, then we have the chance to have the biggest impact possible. And I want to set context around that, because impact could be you choose to be an amazing parent. And maybe before that, you were just doing nothing but working and it was stressing you out and you're trying to balance all realities. So it's not that it's always a big number at the end. It's just that it's the number that is in alignment with who you really are.
Absolutely. It's kind of ripple effect, right? Because with you, books, you inspire people and they turn over like me and others and they think, about the question, how can I have an impact on other people? How can I change something, even if it's a small change in the world?
And that was actually the reason why I wrote The Big Five for Life. Right. I had written The Cafe on the Edge of the World, again, Das Café am Rande der Welt in German. And I was getting so many emails, wonderful emails from people in work-related positions. And I'm sharing with me, like, I decided to change my career after reading that book. And it dawned on me that, wow, if I could write something that would inspire people to think about the work experience differently, and not just for themselves, but also as a leader. There's only one of me. I can only be on so many stages or so many Zoom calls at a time. But if I could write something that would inspire other people who have an impact on other people, there was really no limit to the overall impact that the story might have. And so, it's a true honor to hear what you're talking about and the way it's impacted you and the fact that you are sharing it, because that really was the whole goal of that book.
Great, John. Could you explain to those who might not know your books the concept of the Big Five of Life, what it's for?
Absolutely. This is allowing ourselves to identify the five things that we most want to do, see, or experience during our time here on the planet. Statistically speaking, we get about 28,900 days. And as we get older, the pace of those days actually accelerates. And so our time gets more and more constrained, if you will. It's going by faster and faster. And the question is, what are we going to do with those days? What is the type of activities, adventures, life decisions, entrepreneurial ventures that we want to do so that at the very end of our life, when we look back over it, we could say our life was exactly what we wanted it to be. It was the success that we envisioned for ourselves. And what's fascinating about this is I went through many years of formal education, all the way up through getting my MBA from a top university in the world. And in all those years, I never had a single person ask me, what's even one thing that you most want to do see or experience so that you could say that your life was a success by your own definition of success? And that is kind of staggering. And I know it's not just me. When I talk to an audience of 1,000 people and I ask that question, like nobody's hand goes up. It's just not something that is part of our culture typically.
Absolutely. We're talking about goals and objectives, but not really about this. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a big difference. I've had people say to me, so how is this different than goal setting? Mm-hmm. Goal setting is you identify something that you want and then you go after it and get it. This is about, on a deep cellular level, looking at your life from a very holistic perspective and saying, if I was to get to the end, could I say that my life was a success? Not that I did something, but could I say that it was a success? And then what does that mean for me? And maybe it is. I want to have half day Fridays for the rest of my life. And on those half days, I want to go spend extra time with my kids, or I want to open a bakery in somewhere and lend my genius to the cooking community. Everybody's answer is going to be a little bit different. But again, the point is that it is truly the five most important things that you want to do, see, or experience in your lifetime.
Right. And can these big five change during your life, during your path of life?
They can. Sometimes people pick something that is more of a one-time event. So they may say, I want to watch the sunrise over the Serengeti and see the animals come to life, experience Africa being born in that day, which is truly, if you haven't done it, I highly recommend it. It is a life-changing experience to see the day be born in Africa.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's something that's you have on your list, and that's a one-time thing. You go to Africa, you experience it, and then you're ready to move on to something else. But it could be something else. You may say, I want to be an adventurer for life. Interesting, right? So what does that mean for you that you're an adventurer for life? Well, it could be the way that you approach your business. It could be the way that you approach leadership. It can be the attitude that you wake up with every day. But that would be something that would carry forward throughout your entire existence until you decided perhaps to change to something else. But yeah, and sometimes what happens is you put something on your list and you test it out and you realize it's not quite what I thought it was going to be. So at one time in my list, I had to make the U.S. Olympic table tennis team. And the more I trained for it, the more I realized that the vision I had of what that would feel like and look like was different from the reality. And so better that I had figured that out early than to have waited, 30 years to have figured that out. Because I'll tell you, I heard an amazing story actually in the context of leadership. So I had a woman that was in the aerospace industry, a female executive, very high up in the aerospace. And she was telling me this amazing story because they brought me in to do an event and I did a keynote address. And then she and I were talking afterwards and she said, I had somebody on my team and they were a pretty good performer. Like they were not exceptional. They were not bad enough to get fired, but they just sort of operated in that just good enough to not be let go zone. And she said, I'd read the Big Five for Life book. I gave her a copy of it. And I said, come back and tell me about you, about your Big Five for Life. So the woman came back and she said, one of my Big Five for Life is to be an architect. I've always wanted to be an architect. I've dreamed about being an architect. I've never told anybody about it. And I always feel like I come to work every day and I'm doing something, but it's not something that I really want. And so this senior level executive said, okay, let me help you. And so, as you would imagine, in the aerospace industry, there are tons of things that deal with architecture and design and the rest of that.
Yeah.
So she set up all these different meetings for this person. And then I think 3 weeks went by and they had a sit-down meeting. They sat down and the executive was so excited for the meeting because she had set up all these great, and she was just expecting this person to come in and be like, greatest 3 weeks of my life, right? And so the two of them sat down and she said, so how was it? And the woman looked at her, she said, I do not want to be an architect. And she said, because in her mind, this woman had created this vision of architecture and what it was like, and it painted this whole story. But then over the course of the 3 weeks, when she actually interacted with people doing architecture work, she realized that the fantasy and the reality were totally different. And so it's better to figure these things out early so that you can then realign with, okay, so that's not it. No problem, right? Table tennis Olympics wasn't it for me either. But better to figure it out early so that you can pick something else and focus on it instead of always wishing for this thing that is really just a fantasy. You don't even know what it looks like.
Yeah. That's a good idea and good story. I love the idea of the museum walk in the Big Five for Life. And I often use this image, this concept in my coachings. And could you explain more about it, what the museum walk is about?
Yeah, the idea actually came to me. I was walking through a small little museum, and I love museums. And so I was walking through a small little museum very close to where I live. It's only a two-room little museum. And I was looking at pictures of people from their high school graduation, and this was in the 1920s. So all of these people in all likelihood have passed away by now. And I thought to myself, I wonder if they did it. You know, like, I wonder if they lived the life that they were dreaming of living when they were 18. Did they ask out that person that they always wanted to go on a date with? You know, did they go off on that adventure that they always dreamed of going off on? And so this thought was rolling through my head, and it ended up being a big piece of the Big Five for Life book. And it's honestly, it's one of the most quoted pieces back to me. And the idea is that imagine if every moment of our life was recorded, the things we did, the things we said, everything. And then towards the end of our life, a museum was built to honor us, except that the museum would show our life exactly how we lived it. And so if 80% of our time was spent on things that didn't bring us joy, then that would be 80% of our museum. And if we loved time with family or some other hobby, but we only spent 2% of our time on those loves for whatever reason, then that would just be 2% of our museum. And where this gets really powerful is the next aspect of this, which is imagine if heaven or the afterlife or however you perceive this whole experience work actually consists of us being the tour guide for our museum for all of eternity. And when we think about our life that way, about reliving moments of our existence as we're walking through our own personal museum for all of eternity, that's either a major wake-up call that says, oh my gosh, like I that would be devastating to be reliving this time and time again. And I can relate to that because there's many moments of my life, especially in my 20s and early 30s, where I'd be like, this would be torture to have to relive this every day. So it can be a wonderful wake-up call. And it also typically inspires in people the things that really do matter to them, the pieces of their life that they would find great joy walking through that exhibit again and again and again.
I love this picture, absolutely. And to give you feedback, John, actually my family and me took this idea of the museum moments and created a wall of precious moments in our kitchen. And we have a wall of 40 pictures, 40 altogether, with special moments, with precious moments in our life. And for us, it works like a positive portfolio, so which reminds us of the good moments together, even if we have stress, even if we do not have enough time in our daily life to be together or to have the conversations.
That is fascinating. I love that for so many reasons, in part because pictures with digital technology now, it's awesome because in an instant you can capture the moment. But typically the moment is then stored on your phone and then you don't see it again. And everything in our ambient space carries an energy. And to surround ourselves visually with those images is a great way to reconnect with what really matters to you. One of the big aha moments I had over the last years is that our heroes become our reality.
Our heroes.
Become our reality. Who we admire, whether it's on an unconscious level, we emulate that behavior, or whether it's on a conscious level. By you taking all those pictures, that's your wall of heroes, and you are your own hero. But by having it visually apparent, your unconscious mind goes, oh, that's who we aspire to be. The happy people doing those things that we love, spending time with our family, whatever it is on your wall of pictures. But unconsciously, your mind is validating that that is the hero in your life, and that is who you want to be in the future as well. And that is a powerful, powerful way to bring about the life that you want to live.
Right. Talking about heroes, about role models, John, that reminds me of the question for the purpose of existence. What is the most important questions when you want to find your purpose of existence?
Yeah, so your purpose for existence is the answer to the question that I raised in the first Cafe book. Why are you here? And when we ask ourselves that question, it's why am I here? Again, going back, you've got 28,900 days statistically. What are you going to do with those days? And the answer to what am I going to do with my days as you ask why ends up at, well, wait, why am I here? You know, what if I'm here to make a difference in the lives of others, then logically my days are going to be spent in some capacity that helps me do that. If I'm here to travel the world, then in all likelihood, my days are going to be spent wandering with a backpack, being on adventures, traveling the world. And so understanding our purpose for existing is what gives us the equivalent of north on the compass. I love it. I love the two concepts combined, actually, your purpose for existing and Big Five for Life. And let me give you a very quick visual and then tell you why I love it so much. So the purpose for existing is the overarching reason why you exist. And this is, think of this like a river. So you're on the, I want to make a difference in the lives of others river. Now the question is, okay, great. So what ports of call are you going to stop at along the way? Oh, I want to be an accountant and help people with their tax returns. That's how I want to help make a difference. Oh, I want to build homes for the homeless in Guatemala. That's how I want to make a difference. So it's, this is my purpose. I'm on the purpose river, and here's the ports of call that I want to stop at along the way. Now, why is it so powerful to know this? Well, because when somebody comes up to you and offers you the opportunity to spend precious minutes of your life on something, you look at the offer and you say, well, is this part of my purpose river that I want to be on? Is this part of the ports of call that I want to stop at along the way? And if the answer is no, honestly, Nicole, it's so easy to be like, okay, no thanks. It's just effortless. Your stress levels go down dramatically. Making decisions become so much easier because you know that this is where I'm going in my life. And everything that supports that, I'm 100% in. Everything that distracts me from that, no thank you.
That's a great picture with a river. I love this.
And by the way, yeah. I know that a lot of the wonderful work that you do is in the field of executive coaching. This 100% applies to people in the executive role in business as well. Same exact concept. So it's astounding to me how many organizations exist, but really exist without a clear definition of purpose. And so, okay, why are we all here? And it's a missed opportunity because if you have a bit, and I'll use an example. So let's say you're in the industry that manufactures top level kayak equipment. So you are in the, what business are you in? Well, you're really not in the kayak business. What you're really in is the outdoor adventure business or creating moments business. And the clearer you have this defined as an organization, this makes it so much easier to attract and retain the top talent whose life purpose also aligns with it. So it gives you an incredible way. It's like a magnet. So the clearer you are about your purpose as an organization and your Big Five for Life as an organization, and the clearer you are as a leader about your personal purpose and how those two intersect, this increases the size of the magnet and you draw customers to you. You draw the best of the best employees to you. It's just a really effective way to get you where you want to go in a leadership capacity.
Absolutely, because you touch the people emotionally, because you touch them on an emotional ground there, on a base. Yeah.
And the best of the best people want that. They can get a job at 20 different companies. They're not looking for a job. They're looking for the opportunity to fulfill their life purpose and get paid in the process.
And making an impact with it, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And isn't that what we're looking for in a leadership capacity too? Well, I mean, at the core of it, if you're a really good leader, you could do great leadership work in an air conditioning company. You could do it in a real estate company. You could do it in the insurance industry. So you have a lot of choices. But the question is, what's going to make you excited on Monday morning when you get up? And what's going to have you excited, you know, the minutes during the course of the day so that when you go home and you go put your head down on the pillow, you can say that was a good day. Mm-hmm. Well, the closer your life purpose is aligned with the purpose of the work that you do, the happier that moment is when you put your head down on the pillow and you wake up on a Monday morning.
Yeah, absolutely. John, I want to take the opportunity to talk to you about your new book, What I've Learned, Was ich gelernt habe. And for me, this book is like a treasure box. And it's really full of little wisdoms. Oh, you have it in German as well.
Yeah, they send it to me and I love it because it's just such a great feel, the book.
Yeah. And with nice drawings in it. And I really love it. And so it's nice texture. And it's a box full of little wisdom, stories, and inspirations. And I would love to read some of the quotes. And it would be great if you can tell us more about it.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Fine. So, I've learned that the things we love come to an end. Or as you once said in an interview, there's no countdown for precious moments.
Yeah. So I'm a father. I have a daughter who's now 13. And it seems like yesterday that I was holding her on my chest when she was this big in her little diaper. And I can't believe how fast the time has flown. And there's so many aspects of being a parent where something wonderful comes to an end just as your child grows. It's a natural thing, right? But as a perfect example, from the time that she was two, we started doing what we call adventure days. And we go off on adventures, just she and I. And it's autumn, unbelievable bonding time. We talk in the car about life, about everything, about what she's thinking about, her friends, everything. And when she was super little, as you would expect, we'd go off on this adventure day, we'd go to the zoo, whatever, and she'd be in her car seat and she would fall asleep on the way home almost every time. And when we got home, I would open the car door, I would unbuckle her and I would lift her out and she would tuck her head against my shoulder and she would just grab onto me like a little tree frog. And there came a day when I got to hold her for the last time. And it's there's no great countdown to that. There's no 10 more times, 5 more times. There just comes a day when your kid is too big and you can't pick them up.
And then they do not want to be cuddled or something.
Yeah, right. And so these wonderful aspects of life, whether it is time with our child or whether it is something that we love to do, and as we're getting older, maybe it's not possible. I think in the interview you're talking about, I talked about my father and he can't fish anymore. He loves the fish, but he can't stand in the boat anymore. You know, he just can't. He's 79 years old. And so the takeaway from this is that if we allow ourselves to, first of all, be very present. And so in that moment when you're with your kids, allow your mind to focus on that moment and the joy of that moment instead of also trying to think about three things that you've got in your inbox. And I know how tough that can be on days. I've caught myself in that capacity during the course of my parenting. I really encourage you, if possible, to allow your mind to just be present, enjoy those moments because they will come to an end. And then it'll be too late. You won't have the chance to pick them up and tuck them to your shoulder anymore. And the other thing I would say is just on a daily basis, just try and be in that state of awareness about how precious whatever this moment is that you're enjoying. Could be lunch with a friend and it could be a conversation with somebody else, whatever it is, but just to try and have that awareness.
The next quote fits in this. I've learned that we are not careful. We become reactionary in how we spend our days. So how can we break with these habits? Because I think most of us get up in the morning, check their cell phones and are really zoomed in. That's incredible.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? That is so easy to do. And I've fallen into that trap myself where your day becomes dictated by what everyone else wants you to do. And then it becomes a brain pattern. So we wake up in the morning and look what everybody's requesting. So the antithesis to this, how we break that pattern, goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier. When you know your purpose for existing and you know your personal big five for life, now it makes it very clear. When someone sends you something in the inbox and you open it up or someone texts you, if it is directly related to the life that you want to live, then it's worth it, you know, responding to or addressing or dealing with. If it is not, it either gets ignored or it just gets handled later. You know, people just have to get comfortable with the fact that you're not going to be available every minute 24/7 because you've got other things that are a higher priority. And people do. They learn that over time, you know? So it's a behavior that we install in ourselves and it's a behavior that other people start to recognize and honor and appreciate over time.
Absolutely. And I experienced it often starts in the morning. So it really makes a difference how you start your morning, how you start your days. When you start with yourself, like whatever is good for you, like yoga, stretching, meditation, just a short check-in, but just to be with you and not on the phone, not reactionary. So the start is really crucial, I think.
I would say the start and the end of the day are really worth looking at and saying, in what way can I guarantee that the start and the end of my day are aligned with my purpose and my big five for life. And I'll give you a couple of tips regarding to that. I love your one about the yoga or stretching. I start every day. Very first thing I do is I fill a very large glass of water and I chug that down. And I think it does a lot of good things for me health-wise. And it sort of hydrates the system. And we are primarily water. Our cells are all composed of water. So when we get dehydrated, it takes a lot longer to process our thinking. And it also causes inflammation in the body, which doesn't do us any good from a health perspective. So just starting the day with a simple thing like, this is for me, I'm drinking this, sends a very good message to the rest of the day that, you know, we're focusing on making sure that everything's okay here. And then I stretch every single day because I find that when I do that, my energy is a lot higher throughout the rest of the day. I can't tell you exactly why that's the case, but I've been doing that for decades and I notice it always. When I stretch at the start of the day, my energy is higher throughout.
I think you are more connected with yourself, really, when you start with an exercise where you feel your body and you are more connected, probably.
Yeah. There's just really good things that come from that. And, you know, you don't have to be an Olympic stretcher. You don't have to look like a gymnast where you can contort your body into 42. Start small and build yourself up to a full level of flexibility. It doesn't have to be perfect at the start. Mm-hmm. And for the end of the day, I will say to you, a super easy to implement process is this. Take a notebook and in the front of it, label it your Big Five for Life notebook. And have that on your nightstand. Have a second book on your nightstand, which is anything related to one of your Big Five for Life. So let's say that you want to go to Australia someday. Have a travel guide book, and I really recommend Lonely Planet is a great series. So have a Lonely Planet Australia guide sitting next to your bed. Now, the last thing you do before you go to sleep is you say to yourself, I want to write down in my journal something that I did that was related to my Big Five for Life. This is like a reward to yourself. And if you've gone through the entire day and you haven't done something linked to your Big Five for Life, well, we've got a foolproof system because then you pick up that other book, which is something directly related to your Big Five for Life, and you read it for 5 minutes, you put it down, and then in your journal, you wrote, read about Australia for 5 minutes. So it is a foolproof system to guarantee that there is something every single day. And I love this method because, hey, not only does it reinforce positive behavior, which is really good for the unconscious mind, it also, the last minutes before you're going to sleep now are going to be what is in your unconscious for the next 8 to 9 hours. So that's a great way to fill your mind with something that is related to the life that you want to live. And because you're going to enjoy reading that for the 5 minutes before you go to bed, that five will end up becoming 10 or 15 over time. And you start to fill more minutes of your life with the things that really matter to you. So it is an absolute foolproof system.
Perfect. Good advice. And I love the idea about Australia. As we plan to go to Australia this year, my sister is living there. She's married there, in Sydney. But well, Corona didn't allow us to go there. So next year.
So let me throw a little idea about you. So I've been thinking about this a lot because I love adventure travel and I'm typically on the road doing adventurous things a lot. And I can't right now, which is very frustrating for me energetically and emotionally. So what I've decided is that I will use this time to prepare for launch. Since I can't actually be traveling, then I will use this time to get myself excited about the destinations I want to go to. And whether that's I'm watching 15 minutes of YouTube videos every day, or again, I'm reading about it in a guidebook, or contacting a friend who's been there. Like you, as using your example, you could set up a monthly Zoom call with your sister. And the whole purpose of the Zoom call is to talk about, give me three ideas about cool things to do when we meet each other in Australia. And that alone gets you connected with the dream. You're preparing for launch, even since you can't launch now. So little things that we can do in the interim go a long way towards keeping us in that positive state and the positive energy. And if I can, I mean, you've got a sister there, so you probably don't need advice. But if I can be of any advice, let me know, because I love Australia.
Yeah, sure. I'll come back to you about this. Perfect. But that's a good excuse. That's a good question I wanted to ask you as well. Right now, within the up and downs of the Corona coaster, how can we keep on keep on doing something for our purpose of existence. How can we do something? Because as you mentioned, you can't travel right now and you're a traveler and we can't meet the people we want to meet. So how can we invest more in this subject right now?
So I have a little word choice that I use now to keep myself in the right state of mind, which is if I can't go macro, then I'll go micro. And so if I can't be out doing an adventure experience in Guatemala, then I will grab my kayak, I'll throw it in the back of my truck, and I'll go to someplace I've never kayaked before within a 2-hour drive of my house, and I'll do that. It's not as good, but it's definitely better than nothing. And so to me, these micro bites of whatever we want to be experiencing on a macro level are what what enable us to keep our sanity, to keep our positive enthusiasm until we can then get back to being macro. And there's different levels of micro. There's, like I said, a micro example would be, okay, I throw my kayak in the truck, I drive, I still do the thing I want to do. Even smaller micro would be, like I said, watching some YouTube videos about cool international destinations to kayak. And so it's pretty easy with technology today. I mean, imagine if we were dealing with COVID 50 years ago. It would be a lot harder. These days, you have unlimited access to videos, information, articles, people who have already done it. So in that regard, we're somewhat lucky, very lucky, I would say.
But that's a good idea because like this, you concentrate on the things you can influence. And this, you do not feel so lost, so dependent. And that's a good idea. Yeah.
And I'll give you one other tip that just came to me as you were describing that. So I have a trip booked for next year to go to Alaska. And so this is also part of the process. I have no idea if we will be at a point where COVID is gone enough that I can go on that trip. But the deal with the airlines right now, at least here where I live, is that you can book the trip and you have 100% cancellation, no penalty. Mm-hmm. And so it makes me feel good knowing that I have that trip on the calendar.
I can see this. And seeing this in your smile.
It's great. Something to look forward to, right?
Yeah, perfect. Well, that's a good idea. So another quote, good things can come from challenging situations and our biggest struggles, most major catastrophes and lowest lows can all be part of what leads us to our greatest highs.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit about some of my life story and how the most devastating time in my life when I was 21 years old ended up shifting me in a direction that became the best. Mm-hmm. I will not say that that was easy. I mean, there was a year, at least a year, where I was in, you know, depression and very, very much struggling to figure out what now. I mean, this was just a horrible, horrible time for me.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying these moments are easy for us, but what I have discovered over time is that if we can ask ourselves a question in these moments. Before, when things like that would happen to me, whether it was a big thing like that or whether it was even something smaller but significant, I would say, why is this happening to me? You know, it felt very unfair. I'm a good person. I do good things. I look out for others. Why is this happening to me? And I would feel very unhappy and offended. I didn't find that asking that question generated much response. I didn't get a lot of wisdom out of that. But over time, what I've discovered is that if I ask the question, but I ask it differently, like good things come. And so if I can ask the question from a place of inquisitiveness, why is this happening to me? And I find interesting things result. And I'll tell you a really personal, really powerful example of this. So I had written a third book in the Cafe series. In English, it's called Reconnection, A Third Visit to the Cafe on the Edge of the World. And the essence of that story is about struggling with the fact that I'm getting older. It's a very personal story set in the context of the character as he visits the cafe. And I had written that whole book and I had sent it off to the editor and I had sent it off to my focus group of readers and everybody said, really love it, really great, all good to go. But Nicole, there was a piece of me which had this idea for a letter. It's a letter from my godfather to me. And I had had that idea for a long time, and I just couldn't figure out a way to put it in the story in the way that I wanted to put it in the story. And so I didn't do it. And so I'd sent off, like I said, the book had already gone to the editor, everything was done. And I leave on a trip, I go to China, and I get very, very sick. And so I'm in this place that is not comfortable for me. I'm wishing I was at home. I've got jet lag. I feel absolutely horrible. And it was tempting to ask the question, why is this happening to me? Right. But I was thinking of all the things I've learned. And so I asked the question from a place of curiosity. Why is this happening to me? It was 3 a.m. I've got jet lag. The lights are all on. I can't sleep. And this idea of the letter came back to me. And I just sat in that space for a little bit. And I was like, why? Why is that letter coming back to me? And something told me to keep thinking about this. And I sat down and I started writing some notes to myself. And the next day I felt better and I was going to be on a train. And I said, I just want to try and write this letter. And so I typed for like an hour and a half and I wrote this piece. And when I read through it and I read through the book, I knew exactly where it needed to go and I knew exactly how it was going to fit in. And so I sent an email to my editor and I said, I know that you might have already started printing books. I said, but I have had this epiphany and it's this letter. And I explained the whole story. Nicole, I get an email back 30 minutes later from my editor saying, oh my God, like this morning I authorized the printing of the books and I immediately told them stop, right? We're going to get this letter in. It's going to be in the very first editions of the book. Yeah. And what's really amazing about this is it's a letter from my godfather to me. And I was on this trip in April and my godfather had passed away in March and I had written the book in December, knowing that he was close to the end of his life. And I think maybe I just wasn't there emotionally until he actually passed away and I just couldn't deal with it, you know? And so, and many people who have read the Third Cafe book tell me that the letter is the piece that just like, that's what really got them emotionally, you know? And so I think sometimes in life, if we can ask ourselves from that place of curiosity, why is this happening to me? That it opens up a window and a door into a world that we didn't even know existed. And I can say with certainty in my own life, that has certainly been the case. And it 100% example was with this.
Thank you for sharing, John. I know the letter, but it's good to know the story behind it. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. So another quote, last quote, and then my three last questions I always ask to my guests. I've learned that it's good to be authentic. I've also learned it's good to question what that even means.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, I grew up without a great deal of self-confidence, struggled to figure out who I was, why I was on the planet, if I had any purpose, if there was anything that was significant about me or about my life. And I guess what I've realized at this point is that what I was really struggling with was to allow myself to be me. To allow the authentic me to exist, because I was so worried about what other people were going to say, whether I was going to be evaluated or judged or accepted into a group of people or not accepted. And I think a lot of us go through that. A lot of humans go through that as you're going through junior high and high school and trying to figure out who you are and where you fit into the whole scheme of things. At the end of the day, that experience and the experience of being an adult is so much easier if we just allow ourselves to be comfortable with who we are, whatever that means. If you're an athlete, be an athlete. If you're not an athlete, it's okay to be non-athletic. If you're an artist, be an artist, whatever. When we are authentic, people see that authenticity in us and it inspires them to be authentic also. So people often ask me, John, they say to me, John, I want to make a difference. I want to change the world. How do I do that? And my response is always the same, Nicole. It's be the best version of yourself. Be the most authentic version of yourself. That alone will inspire other people to be the best and most authentic version of themselves. And that is how you change the world.
Absolutely. Just that for a lot of people, it's difficult to find this authentic self because they believe in the narrative they hear and they tell themselves for years. And they believe in the labels they got over the years. But I agree totally. That's so important. Yeah.
And so another good personal practice that I recommend is to challenge every belief, challenge every label. And if you look at it and you say, you know what, I actually am comfortable with that label, whatever it is, then fine. That you've made a conscious choice to accept the belief and accept the label. For my own life, I found that when I went through that process, so many of my beliefs were not even mine. They were things that I learned or had told me or read in a book or saw in a movie. And, you know, as a very small example of this, if you've ever seen a movie about life in another country, that is your frame of reference. You really think that's how life is in that country. But that's not how life is in that country. That's just one movie about life in that country. And so by allowing ourselves to challenge these beliefs and really ask, do I really even know that? Do I, can I really have an opinion about that?
Yeah.
It frees us up so much to be authentic.
Absolutely. And perhaps just start with the exercise to write down all your beliefs. Who do I think I am? And then challenge them. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Where did that belief come from? Did you derive it of your own volition, or did somebody tell it to you? And then you said, okay. And then you lived up to it because it was the narrative you kept telling yourself.
So I have so many more questions, John, but our time is running. So I just...
We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, that's it. So I have three questions I ask every guest in my podcast. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Fine. So John, the name of my podcast in German is Freiraum für Führungskräfte, which is freedom for leaders. And how do you gain more freedom in your daily life?
I would say it goes back to exactly what we were talking about. The clearer you are about your purpose for existing and your big five for life, and the more authentic you allow yourself to be, there's no distractions. It's so easy to say no when it's a no. And it's so easy to say yes with 100% certainty when it's a yes.
Perfect. And what is your favorite strength of yours?
Ooh. A couple things leap to mind immediately. I'll go with my creativity, though.
Mm-hmm. Cute. What are you grateful right now?
I am grateful that we talked a little bit of my earlier story,
right,
and how much I struggled. And in order for me to get to that dream, by the way, I started working when I was 12 years old doing very physical labor and other things. Although I don't necessarily recommend that path, I'm grateful that I learned the power of a good work ethic when I was very young. Because when you are in the midst of pursuing your dreams, whether it's a business venture, whether it is becoming and living your life in the most authentic fashion fashion possible, the willingness to not give up, to have that driving work ethic, is what separates the people who end up being most happy with their life and the ones who have a lot of regrets. And so I'm glad that I learned to have a really good work ethic.
Good. John, thank you so much for your being, for your books, for inspiring all these people across the globe. And I really believe we need more of this positive energy and more of these role models and more authentic people. So thank you so much.
Thank you for all the work that you do and the way in which you make such an incredible difference in the world. And it's a joy to spend time with you today, and I look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, and I hope one time when we meet in person, Australia, wherever, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. This situation is temporary, you know. And when this ends, we'll go back to that. And hopefully we'll be a little smarter, a little wiser, and there will have been some advantages that we've learned through this process.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ich bin gespannt, wie dir diese Folge gefallen hat. Vielleicht magst du mir mal schreiben. Ich freue mich wirklich immer sehr über all die Nachrichten und habe jetzt in den letzten Monaten einige neue Hörer und Hörerinnen gewonnen, dadurch, dass ich selbst in einem Jahr weitaus sehr viel bekannteren Podcasts zu Gast war. Vielleicht hast du schon gehört, wenn nicht, hier nochmal der Tipp. Ich war bei Michael Trautmann und Christoph Magnussen in dem sehr bekannten Podcast On the Way to New Work als Gast in der Folge 499. Michael und ich haben uns da sehr ausführlich über meinen eigenen Weg, wie ich der Mensch geworden bin, der ich jetzt bin, und über meine Leidenschaft, die Stärken, unterhalten. Es ist ein wundervolles Interview geworden, was mir auch ganz wahnsinnig viel Spaß gemacht hat und für das ich sehr viel positives Feedback bekomme und offensichtlich auch dank dessen einige neue Hörerinnen und Hörer gewonnen habe. Herzlich willkommen hier bei mir. An dieser Stelle nochmal die Bitte, wenn du es nicht schon getan hast. Bitte, bitte, gib mir doch gerne Sternchen auf deiner Lieblingsplattform Spotify oder aber Apple Podcast. Das hilft mir, dass mein kleiner Nischenpodcast bekannter wird und in den Rankings höher kommt. Nur so erreiche ich auch andere Menschen. Aber natürlich ist es auch großartig, wenn du mich einfach auf direktem Wege weiterempfiehlst. Ich wünsche dir schöne Sommertage, hoffentlich mit weniger Regen, und wir hören uns in 2 Wochen.